All right. What you need to know is being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Beto Duran is in for Sedano. It's been a great week around here.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And by the way, Beto, it's not only been a lot of fun on the radio, it's been a ton of fun inside the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community on Twitter.
Absolutely. I have fun going there. It's one of the first things I check in the morning now. It used to be my Wordle and then read everything else. Now I go to the community to see what I missed from the night before, and it's usually a lot of drinking. I love that.
Well, let's pick it up from there after what you need to know. Here's Double H, Lindsay Baseball.
So what you need to know right now, this is a very, very important one. An all-you-can-eat Chicken Tender Festival is coming to L.A. For one day only, August 20th, Tenderfest is going to take place at the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts in Beverly Hills. And Tenderfest will let you sample the best chicken tenders from vendors like Willie Mays, Cane's, Dino's, Delia's, or Delilah's, I don't know which one it is, and others all in one location. You can indulge in unlimited chicken tenders, plus french fries and desserts, if you get tickets to the event, which you can find at bucketlisters.com. And that is what you need to know.
Interesting.
Tenderfest, yeah.
Tenderfest in Beverly Hills. Never would have thought I'd hear that.
Right, right. They got the right part of town or what?
I would think more like Venice, you know, with Mason hanging out there.
Same.
Yeah, but no, that's cool. That's cool. I'm not a big chicken tender kind of guy because I don't like the batter that much. But I love me some Cane's because I just want to grub. When I'm going to have all you can eat, I don't want anything that's going to take away from the good stuff. And that batter is going to get you full, man. That's why when I go tacos, man, I don't get that many tortillas.
Yeah, sometimes when I go to a baseball game and I get into somebody's luxury suite because I like knock on the door, I'm like, yo, I'm in the house.
Yeah.
And they've got chicken tenders, but I don't want a kind of a gnarly dog. So I'll take the chicken tenders and put them in a hot dog bun, and then I'll put a little like honey mustard on it.
A little sandwich?
That's bomb.
That sounds like the sandwiches they have at KFC. Not bad.
You haven't been to a KFC in a really long time.
Yeah, my daughter loves it.
Really?
She loves KFC, so I get it for her Mondays after soccer practice. That's her one time a week she gets that stuff.
Their little chicken sliders are delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Really?
Man.
At KFC,
yeah.
Huh?
KFC.
Mm-hmm.
I love their mashed potatoes, man. Still get after it.
Really? They're still
and
good.
And their
huh?
mac and cheese, all of it.
Well, I mean, it's not good, it's good.
It's
like
KFC. It's
But don't I see a TV commercial good. Now for like some kind of a mac and cheese that has like little chicken tenders in it?
Oh, wow.
Probably.
Wow.
How good is that, and how bad is that for you?
So good. Yeah, but we're not eating that because we're on a diet.
Right, we're training.
We're training, baby. We're training.
Right. We are in full-blown training.
Yeah, man, yeah.
That's what you need to know. It's being brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. You know, Beto, it's funny you said about needing a drink and how when you
Absolutely.
Wake up in the morning, you go to the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community on Twitter, and you see everybody posting their liquid refreshments from the evening before.
Uh-huh.
So last night I thought, well, you know what? I think I'm going to jump in on this. So I was wearing an ESPN 710 hoodie, and I took a picture of sucking on a vodka and soda, and I posted it in the community and said something like, after today's show, and I tagged you and Chris.
Yeah.
I was like, I think I needed one of these today.
You were all emo cap too, man, like a little sad, like the sun had set and kind of looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah. You all right? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. But here's what happened.
I thought we had a good show. I didn't need a drink yesterday. I wanted a drink to celebrate, but you looked all emo, man.
No, let me tell you what happened after that, though. You're going to love this. You ready? So you remember the story I was telling you about how I went to a restaurant. I was sitting at a bar. This gentleman had his back to me.
Yeah, that's why people were mad at me, because I was yelling at you that day.
He had this amazing-looking pizza, and I told you it had, like, pesto and mushrooms, and it looked so fire. So when the guy got up and he walked down the bar, I've freaking decided I'm going to grab a slice of this thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I had a slice, and I told you, the pizza was incredible. It was so good. So last night, Beto, I went back to the exact same place, and I said, this time, I'm going to actually order the pizza that I stole last time. So rather than steal this guy's slice, I actually just bought the whole pizza, right?
Okay.
I took a picture and I tweeted it to you.
Yeah.
I must tell you, Beto, when I stole the guy's slice, it was really, really good.
Of course.
When I paid for it and I had this whole pizza in front of my face,
Cap,
it wasn't even that good.
Cap, why do we love tailgates? Because other people are throwing them, right? Why do we love sweets? Because other people are paying for it. right? And when we got to do it, it's like, damn, I got to clean up. I got to get there early. I got to get the cooler. I got to do this. We're complaining the whole time. Now you just paid $38 for a pizza. It didn't taste as good.
No, it sucked. It did. I swear to you. I was like, what did I even order this thing for? And I'm not joking with
you.
And
were you sober yesterday?
Yeah, I was sober.
What about when you stole the pizza, were you?
I'm going to agree with Laura. I was sober adjacent.
Sober-ish. Okay.
Yeah.
But when you stole the pizza, were you loaded?
No, not loaded. I was probably in the same.
Okay, so you had the same. Okay, all right.
Yeah, same very light buzz on.
Just
yeah.
like feeling good.
Yeah.
I feel like right. you're always.
No wonder you were all sad
at
emo, man. You look like you're listening to The Cure last night.
Yeah, no, today I'm on the pixie dust again, so yeah. I'm good. I'm happy today. Yeah,
a little cat crying last night, man. It made me feel sad.
But then I just felt stupid, because afterwards I'm like, why did I order this pizza? I had like two slices of it. You know, it wasn't that good, and I realized. When I stole it from that guy, and I shouldn't even say stole.
So you admit you stole pizza?
No, when I borrowed it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah,
because let me just say this. When I say borrowed, if he would have been there last night, I would have given him the two pieces that I took from him a week ago.
All right.
You know?
Hi, Cappy.
Not as good, man.
I love it.
Not as good.
Hi, me Cappy.
All right, so you were about to tell us a little bit more information about this whole Tatis suspension.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. So Tatis... came out and made a statement, if you're just joining us right now, that he inadvertently took something for what he thought was going to be for ringworm. I inadvertently took a medication to treat ringworm that contained clostebol. Hopefully I'm saying that right. This comes from another tweet comes out that trofoderman is an extremely powerful steroid that would only be prescribed for really, really severe skin conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone prescribing it would know it contains a banned anabolic steroid. Its likelihood the test result has been positive has been researched for a long time.
See, that's the part I want to try and understand. How long have they known that his sample was positive?
Okay, so I dug around a little bit. They've known a few weeks.
Really?
Yep. And that's where somebody's listening and told me you're onto something where you said it was probably a few weeks, and then they had the test, the second sample. They don't just take one test, right? So there's always a B sample. That has to go to the lab, and they test that. And then he did appeal it, and then it all came out together. Once again, how it all showed up where it got announced, he had a statement, and everybody else.
What blows me away about all this is...
And it's Friday afternoon news dump.
Yeah, you nailed it. Because this kid, and I say they, I mean the Padres, they've been promoting... to their fan base for legitimately at least 8 weeks. First, it was he was swinging when he wasn't clear to swing, and he says he's fine. Every day, their manager gets peppered by questions about when's he coming back.
Of course.
Most people thought he was going to be back for the Dodgers series last weekend.
Now we know why.
Yeah, and now he's been rehabbing down in like San Antonio or someplace. So, wow, they've really been going through the act of, hey, everybody, we're going to get him back. Maybe that's why they made the Soto trade, because they knew they weren't getting him back.
Right. And if he's gone for 80 games, I mean, they were going to be aggressive and go after Soto no matter what. But maybe that's why they upped the ante of what they had to get, where they had to get Soto. They couldn't miss out on him.
But wait a minute, then. How come, like, the team reporter from the Padres was saying that, like, he was getting ready to come back and go on his rehab assignment, like, less than
told.
A week ago?
That's what they're told.
But you think they would, the team would not tell people that, right?
Nobody. This is also a personal issue, right? So privacy, because it's being appealed. Nobody knows.
If it's appealed, I guess, yeah, you're right.
Nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. I don't know exactly the details of who is being told. Obviously, the player, his agent, and the front office. So when you're appealing it, you're hoping that maybe that sample size, the second sample, is going to come back negative. And then everything's washed. So you have to go through it in hopes... The only thing you can do when something like that, you have to hope that it comes back tainted.
Yeah, but he knows what he did. I mean, this whole notion of I took a medication for a different condition, and the medication had something that's a banned substance in it, and it's completely my fault. It was inadvertent. I mean, I don't believe that for 1 second.
Now, but then again, Cap, who wrote that? The agent.
Right, of course.
That's why they take their 4% to protect you in this.
Right. Oh, listen, there's no doubt that, you know, that is not his, those are not his words. Those are the words of somebody who carefully crafted a public relations statement.
Cap, I would even go so far as to say, it wouldn't shock me if when he decided to take, and let's say that he did knowingly take this as a PED and not for what he's claiming. Don't you think that some of these guys are like, well, if I do get caught, I can always say it does this. And they almost like find an alternate story when they take it. So they could be like, oh, well, it treats ringworm. So if I get caught, I'm just going to say that I took it for ringworm.
It's no different than guys who say, you know what, I ate a steak and the steak was tainted because the cow was eating,
tainted meat in Mexico.
Hormones or whatever. Yeah.
Right. You know, my favorite one is always when guys are like, yeah, I was busted, but let me tell you something, man. I went to GNC and I bought this protein powder and it didn't say that it was in there and I'm suing them. And then they never sue them because they know that they're lying. Wow.
I'm looking at Tatis played as recently as Tuesday in San Antonio. Actually, he played Wednesday in San Antonio.
Telling you that they had been promoting to their fan base, your guy is coming back. And they knew this all along.
Okay, so Tatis played Wednesday in San Antonio, actually in Frisco against the Rough Riders, did not play last night.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so they knew it was coming down today.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So he played Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. No, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Did not play last night. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, they were at Frisco on the road. Yesterday, at Frisco on the road. Not there.
Wow. What a story today. We've got a couple of big stories happening right now. This is fun. All right, listen, coming up. Let me throw something by you, Beto. Coming right back.
What you got?
I want to ask you to listen to something. And I want to hear your opinion on a reporter doing a one-on-one interview with an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I saw that, man.
I want to hear your opinion. Is the reporter so far out of line, or do you like the way he's throwing these questions at an NFL quarterback? Because he gets raw. Let's hear it together next. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, come on. Come on, Cappy. Baila, amigo, baila.
You know who this is, Beto?
No, no clue. Who is it?
Come on, man.
These are your jams. This is your request, not mine.
Get hip, dog. Get hip.
Get hip?
That's right.
Who is it?
This is old school, too.
Come on. He's a little Daddy Yankee.
Oh, you going to go to his concert next week?
Now, wait a second. My understanding was, check me on this. Somebody might have to check me on this.
I wonder if Tatis is playing there. Lo que pasó, pasó. What happened, happened. Oh, that's the song right there.
Somebody check me on this. Tomorrow night, the Rams and the Chargers play a preseason game at SoFi Stadium. Yep. Isn't Daddy Yankee also playing at the same time
next week.
Forum? It's not tomorrow?
No, it's next
week. It's the 13th and the 15th. So, yeah, that would be tomorrow.
So tomorrow.
Oh, is it? I thought it was next week.
So think about that, Beto. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
You go to this game tomorrow night between the Chargers and the Rams at SoFi Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how many people will go to a preseason football game like that, but you were talking about how inexpensive the tickets were yesterday that we were looking at.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just a much more affordable experience, especially if you've never been inside SoFi yet. So I'm just going to take a stab here. Let's say there's 40 to 50,000 people tomorrow night. Is that too much?
No, that's good.
Okay. So 40 to 50,000 at SoFi, and then another, call it 20,000? At the Forum?
Attaboy.
So if the game starts at 7 and the game ends at 10, 15-ish, and Daddy Yankee goes on stage at 8:45, 9 o'clock, and he's done at 10:30, 11, I just wish everybody a lot of good luck tomorrow night with all the traffic getting out of there. Two events happening at the same time.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's why LA is awesome, man, because you can have these options. If you're complaining about the traffic, stay home. This is fun, man. Daddy Yankee, put on a show, cool. Super Bowl champs, put on a show, cool. Chargers there, put on a show, cool. Don't like it, stay home.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Good. But
I got other things going on.
Hey, there's more stuff coming out with Tatis. You want to hear this?
Yeah. Oh my God, the more the better.
Yeah.
And
then,
I want to play this for you. I want to play this sound for you.
What you got? What you got?
With Carson Wentz, but it's not as important.
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
So the Padres were not aware of the result until this morning. So what somebody told me is that it's usually the agent, the player, and the PA are the ones that are talking about what's going on. And so the Padres were out of it, and that's what usually the organizations don't know until everything is finalized. So the Padres found out this morning. Now, Tatis is going to be suspended 80 games by Major League Baseball, but he is also going to be ineligible to play for the Dominican Republic in the WBC that was going to happen next year. So he was planning to be a big part of the Dominican Republic's team, so he's not eligible to play for that. Tatis has 13 years, $335 million remaining on his contract. He didn't play last year, right?
No, no, he played last year, but he was hurt a lot.
Yeah, basically. So he didn't play last year, right?
No, he played quite. I mean, I don't remember the exact number of games. Probably played over 110, 120 games, whatever.
Yeah, he didn't earn what he got to do. So he has $324 million remaining over 12 years beginning next season.
Right, because the contract that he signed doesn't actually go into effect until after, I guess, it's next season.
Yeah, the contract began 2 years ago with $1 million.
But you know what? I've seen commercials with Cody Bellinger and Fernando Tatis, I think, for Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
And I've seen a bunch of Tatis commercials for, like, Gatorade. And I think I've seen a commercial with him, I'm almost sure, for BMW. So when you're 23 years old and you're an up-and-coming star, and then what happens is not only do you get injured and don't play, then you get busted for PEDs. I mean, it would just occur to me, Beto, that he's just done major, major damage to his off-the-field reputation
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. And it goes back to, you know, I said it earlier in the show, A-Rod. You know, this got sent in our group chat, A-Rod Jr. You know, why are you doing this? You know, you're one of the best in the world. What are you doing this for? My group chat is on fire, though, man. These guys are back and forth. And these are hardcore baseball fans, too. One of them says, you hate to see this happen to a young talent like Tatis. Was really looking forward to the Padres and the Dodgers battling with their best lineups. Okay, that's a good take. The kid had it all. He was could be on his way to being the face of baseball if the way he keeps going. And then the smart-ass comments come in. This tonto really wanted breaking his wrist to be the second dumbest thing he did this year. Also, no sympathy for me on top of the world. You should know better.
That's how I feel. No sympathy at all.
Final one in my group chat, stupidity.
Yeah, selfishness.
Yep.
Entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Man, yeah. That's crazy,
Good
dude.
Job, group chat, man. I know you guys are listening. Oh, yeah, they do, because they listen on the ESPN LA app.
That's right, they
what
do.
What up, Ace?
Yeah. Beto, have I ever told you that my father, who is now retired, lives down in Florida?
Uh-huh.
And
Del Boca Vista?
Boca del Vista Phase 4. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, let me tell you what my father does in his retired life. Not only is he a chief boxing inspector for the state of Florida.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Where?
Down in South Florida. So he does most of the big fights that happen in Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. I got to check him out.
Oh, dude, he goes back in.
So he's an inspector. That's a cool job. That's what I want to do when I retire.
Oh, really?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, he actually makes, like, decent money.
Oh, yeah, you're a state employee.
Right, as an inspector, you're like, yeah. They pay for everything. In fact, but here, you're going
to
love
ahead,
this.
Yeah, yeah,
let
sorry,
me tell you what
sorry,
else
sorry.
He does.
I'm all excited now.
This is what my father does in retirement. My father does urine testing for Major League Baseball.
Oh, he's that guy.
So now, whoever comes in to play the Florida Marlins, my father drives to Miami. Now, just by the way, this is great. They used to pay the guys, the pee inspectors, like money, they okay, we'll pay you 50 cents a mile or whatever it is. They stopped paying them reimbursements for, you know, mileage. So they literally send a car service.
Love
My
it.
Father is in the back seat of a
Love
car
it.
Being driven from Delray Beach, Florida, down to Miami so that he can walk into the opposing team's clubhouse and get urine samples from all these baseball players.
Love it.
My dad's the urine guy.
Yeah, man. That's his new license plate?
It should be. It should be.
Like Kramer's when he was a proctologist?
Right. The ass man? Right. Right. The urine guy.
Yeah. I love it, man. Love it. I want to be your dad. I want to play some pickleball and see if the urine tests are positive or negative. What a life.
Dude, he just collects his samples.
You know
dude.
What your dad is? Florida, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude. He's Florida, man. Armed with a pickleball paddle and a urine sample.
Oh, man.
And he's checking the tape of your wrist before that you get into the ring.
Hey, that's an important job right there.
He's Florida, man.
Yeah, there it is.
That's very funny. Very funny. So let me play this for you. I want to get your feedback
what
on
we
this.
Got, what we got?
So Carson Wentz, the NFL quarterback.
Who's he with?
He is now with Washington. Funny you ask that because honestly, like I might have had a hard time if you asked me that. If it wasn't, you know, earlier I wasn't doing, you know, looking at this story.
Yeah, crazy how it used to be Pennsylvania. Now it's where is he?
Right. So from Philly to Indy and now to Washington. So there's this reporter from a local television channel who somehow gets a one-on-one interview with Carson Wentz. And I want you to hear the interview. It's only about a minute long. And I want to tell you what the Washington Commanders president of their organization has said about this interview. And I want you to tell me if right.
The president has said something?
The president of their organization was so offended by what this reporter did to Carson Wentz that he called it unprofessional and did not follow journalistic protocols. Here's the interview that was done. Play it, Laura.
There's been kind of a narrative out there here in training camp that you've been a little inaccurate on your throws. Consistently inconsistent has been a kind of a terminology. How would you assess your performance in training camp, and is that characterization fair?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's camp. You know, I think I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. But I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, and I'm kicking myself over one, two, three, four, five plays, you know.
Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to, you know, be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. You know, that is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
What do you think, Beto? Was this guy, did he not follow journalistic protocols? Was this a completely unprofessional hatchet job on Carson Wentz?
A couple of things. So I saw the interview, and it was a one-on-one. It wasn't like in a scrum. That means they sat down in the chairs. They had the two different cameras. They had the audio guys. So it took a while to prepare this, right? Which means they had permission from the team to say, you're going to sit down with this guy. And that reporter is a local reporter. So imagine, you know, Jim Hill or Fred Rogan or Kurt Sandoval or Rob Fukuzaki doing this interview in Washington, D.C. One, give me Carson Wentz on my team every day. The professionalism from Carson Wentz answering those questions, excellent. That is textbook what you want to teach a young quarterback in high school or in college. When you don't like the questions and they're coming at you trying to be gotcha, where the reporter's trying to be the story, you handled it very, very professionally, because he could have easily just done the Jim Everett and Jim Rome thing right there. Two, the first question about training camp, okay, I get it. And you could tell he said something about, oh, you told me you don't listen or you don't pay attention. Well, if he's doing that, why are you going to bring it up? This is a reporter who's trying to dig and make himself the story, and you're taught from day one, you don't become the story as a reporter. The second one, they don't want you, they don't want you. That's just kind of a punk thing to do, like to say it in that manner. If you're going to go and say like something like that where Philly didn't want you, make sure you attribute to somebody saying it. We don't need your opinion on this, right? Because if it's they don't want you, according to the team who said blah, 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 you know, give some facts behind it, not just shocking. They didn't want you. They didn't want you. Like, that's kind of a low blow right there. But the first one, I'm okay with that, because it's just lazy. For me, it's lazy, and a reporter trying to be like, hey, I got the one-on-one interview. I put his feet to the hot stove. Look how he answered, you know, stuff like that. And
I thought Carson Wentz did a great job also. I thought he like completely held his composure, like, okay, pal, yeah, I'm consistently inconsistent. Like, if I were Carson Wentz, I'd be like, you watching film? You breaking it down? You talking to coaches? I mean, where are you getting this stuff from? But he handled himself like a total
Absolutely.
Pro. But I'm telling you, the president of the Washington
football
team.
Yeah, so what happened with the president of the
Washington? He comes out afterwards, and because this thing has gone completely viral with everybody ripping this reporter.
Yeah, I saw the report. And the thing is, he's a Syracuse alum, and he has a following in the D.C. area. I looked him up who he is. He has a following. He knows who he is. But the comments on his Twitter are like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. And the president of the team was like, he doesn't follow journalistic protocols, and that's totally unprofessional and pompous. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of pompous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know about completely unprofessional. I mean, you know, I think just that was his style. But, man, really pissed a lot of people off.
But it's also that reporter is – it's one thing to have a reporter ask you a question and you're walking with them or you're in the scrum. To give him access like that where you're going to have 15 minutes and you're setting up different camera angles and you're setting up a boom mic – so you know who this guy is. It's not like they didn't do their homework on who
the reporter
is. Well,
that's just it. They know who he is. They must
know
have
his
known
style.
What he was going to
like,
ask.
You know when certain reporters are coming, you know, if Dylan Hernandez is coming to talk to you, it's going to probably be something negative. Right?
you know, Freddie Freeman's going to tell you he's the worst that he's ever been around.
Something like that. You know, right. you just know who's doing what and who has the agenda on what they're going to do. A beat reporter isn't doing that because you're just trying to get the day-to-day information out there. A columnist, which is a different story, will do that. A sports talk radio host will do that. A guy there day-to-day, no. Like, you know, I mean, we've all been in the scrums long enough, especially at Laker games. You know who's going to come in and ask the off-the-wall questions and who's asking just the boring questions.
Better, we'll pick it up. Coming right back, though. Radio Tinder.
How about
on the
this,
way.
Though? We got some more information from San Diego now. Preller.
Oh, good.
Leaving some comments.
All right, hold that thought. Oh, I can't wait to hear this. Radio Tinder is next.
Thanks, Christopher. Super excited to be doing Radio Tinder, as always. And even more excited that it's Friday.
It's Friday.
So I'm going to start off with my brother's favorite football player, which it is my brother's birthday. So happy birthday, Steven.
All right.
Even though he's probably not listening.
Good Leo right there. Very nice.
He's
Leo
probably not listening. We've already determined that everybody on the planet is listening.
Oh, that's right. He is probably listening on his computer and his smartphone and on his iPad, too.
There it is.
Because literally millions and millions and millions of people are listening every day across multiple platforms and engaging with ESPN 710 content.
Just like my buddy Adrian Garcia Marquez, who's driving to work right now, and he said, I'm listening to you guys. Loves you, Cap. He loves you.
Way to go, San Marcos.
Well, I got a shout-out to them. My friend Karoom is listening. He listens to us all the time. Shout-out Karoom.
Yeah,
shout
Karoom.
Out Karoom.
Woo! Shout-out
Karoom.
Good shout-out. Good shout.
Yeah.
Can I get Anthony Rojo? Why not? He always listens.
No, you're going to shout out your boo.
No, my boo's name is Christian.
Oh, okay. Well, him too.
And boo listens too.
Laura, get your shout-out in.
I did. Anthony Rojo.
All right, well, you know who I hope is listening is, like I said, my brother's favorite football player ever, primetime Deion Sanders.
Oh, snap.
But he believes that he's actually on a different level than the other Hall of Famers. And earlier today, he talked with Well Off Media, which posted his rant about the Hall of Fame and the qualifications on their YouTube page. And here's just a short snippet of what primetime said.
The conversation is that the Hall of Fame ain't the Hall of Fame no more. I love it. I respect it. I admire it. I think all the guys who are inducted definitely are deserving, but it needs to be a different color jacket. My jacket got to be a different color. My head don't belong with some of these other heads that's in the Hall of Fame. What they call them? Well, I call it the head. Put my head where my head's supposed to be. My head don't supposed to be by them. I'm sorry. This thing has become a free-for-all now, man. If you play good, you'll know. No, it ain't good. It's people that change the game. That's what the Hall of Fame is. Damn. A game changer. Not, I played good. I had a good little run. I gave you 3-4 good years. No, dog. Game changers.
So he also said that, you know, he said that some of the Hall of Famers basically deserve different colored jackets or could be put in the upper room in the hall to signify that they were the elite among the elite. And, of course, he puts himself in that category. So do you guys agree with Deion Sanders on the Hall of Fame criteria? Swipe left or swipe right, Kepi?
When you say criteria, I'm not 100% positive what you mean, but
like
here's what
him,
I will say.
Him saying that they're letting too many people in the Hall of Fame.
So I'm going to swipe right and say yes. I agree with Deion Sanders. By the way, it's not the first time that he's ever said this. I mean, this is not an opinion that he just decided to share most recently. I heard him say this exact same thing a couple years ago at a Super Bowl, and I thought, damn, primetime? That is really, really arrogant given how many great players are in the Hall of Fame. But on the other hand, as arrogant as it is, I kind of agree with him. You know, like, I feel like so many people just assume somebody's a Hall of Famer. You know, and it's like you have to be the best of your era. Now, like Tony Boselli got into the Hall of Fame this past weekend.
What took so long?
To me, Tony Boselli's a Hall of Famer. I don't care how long he played. For the time that he played, he was the very best of the best at his position. But there are guys that get into the Hall of Fame, it seems like, all the time that were really, really great players. But they weren't the very, very, very best. So I tend to agree with primetime. By the way, it's not a lot. It's probably like 10 or 12 or 20% maybe that you could cut out. What do you think, Beto?
Swipe left. I hate watching guys that I admire as a kid get old, and become the get-off-my-lawn guy. Deion, if you have problems with some of the Hall of Famers, well, say some names. I want to know who you think doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. Are there levels to it? Yeah. Was he one of the best ever? Yeah. Was he a great tackler? Nope. All right. So this whole adage of I'm on a different level from everybody else, I get it, it's fodder, but this happens when you get older and older and older, because you can go and start making different cases for everybody too. And you can make cases that Deion shouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer too, right? I mean, you can make an argument for everybody who should be or shouldn't be in there. I just don't like that pettiness of going after somebody else who's in the hall, who's earned it, who's been put in there, and saying that my head... First of all, Deion, have some respect. You don't even know that it's called a bust. You know? Like, know what's going on there. Why does it mean so much to you if you don't even know the names of it? So it's just, it happens. Like the 1972 Dolphins, it's like the old heads. It's like everything happens back in my day. There used to be a better rating system. You know, that's what it is.
He's not that old, Beto.
No. He's in his 50s.
He's 55. I think he's 55.
Deion's
54,
old,
55.
Man. Look good, feel good, play good. Deion.
I would really
good.
Like it if you would say that 55 is not old. I would really like
it's
it
not,
to say
it's
super
not
young.
Old.
Dude, it is.
He does, and he does not. Deion Sanders is not like old. You don't look at him and hear him and be like, oh, he's just an old guy.
Okay. Kids that are going to the game tomorrow.
I'm just saying myself. Like, I don't see him as an old guy.
But he is an old guy. The way he's talking, old man. Bitter old man.
I feel like a lot of the guys that are playing right now, like, grew up idolizing him. And they probably put a lot of stake in what he says, don't you think?
No.
I feel like he's popular with the young guys.
I would say he's very popular with them now.
Because he's on TV.
Well, that and also
because... And the
video
games and...
And he's a coach at an HBCU.
Yeah, is that Jacksonville State? But nah, man.
All right, what else you got for us, Lindsay?
All right, so with all of the summer travel chaos that's been going on so far this year, airline passengers are apparently arriving extra early to the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And in many cases, as much as 5 to 6 hours early. And now it's becoming a major problem, with many airports reporting overcrowding, prompting them to urge passengers basically to chill and not arrive so early. The FAA suggests arriving 3 but no more than 4 hours before your departure time. And, of course, be adequately prepared to pass through security and note the FAA travel requirements and regulations before you pack your bag.
Uh-huh.
So are you guys a get-to-the-airport-super-early type of person? Swipe left or swipe right, Beto?
Swipe right. I do not want to miss that flight. I also always take the first flight out because there's so many delays. I don't want to get stuck. Usually I have to come back for a certain kind of reason. But... I'm going to get there early. I've been trying to get there an hour beforehand because I have the TSA and the global entry, all that other stuff, and I don't ever check a bag. But man, this past weekend coming back from Dallas, my TSA did not go through.
Ooh.
The young lady at the TSA
pre-check.
Line, the pre-check, tells me, oh, Mr. Duran, you need to get into the regular line. I'm like,
what?
Why? She's like, what? It's not coming up on the computer. I'm like, okay, but my ticket that I printed shows that I have TSA. She goes, yeah, but it's not in our system. I'm like, okay,
ooh,
well,
maybe
here's...
maybe expired?
Nope. I'm like, here's my TSA stuff because I just redid it because I did the global entry also.
Okay,
and I've been flying this entire year. And she's like, no, you didn't get in there. And when I went back to the regular line, my goodness, people don't know how to travel.
Nope.
So,
it's so bad.
Don't. Yeah.
It's like a whole nother class of people. It really is.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, my shoes. It's like, oh, all that other stuff. So, I mean... If the plane leaves, the plane leaves. But I'm going to get there early kind of guy.
Yeah, I used to be kind of a last second person. But for whatever reason, lately, I just don't want the stress of getting there and having to fight my way through. And,
yep.
You know, what if there's a huge line? So I have begun getting to an airport earlier than I need to. But
I'll do that in Mexico.
How early?
I am taking no chance, baby.
But
not that early. So, like, for example, if I had a 10:30 flight, I would be at the airport by 9 a.m. I don't think that's so early.
No, I feel like that's probably like what most normal people are thinking. And you also often fly out of San Diego, which is probably way less busy. I mean, it is way less busy than LA.
Yeah, it's a much smaller airport. But I fly out of San Diego. I fly out of John Wayne. I fly out of LAX. I use all the airports. I don't use Long Beach ever. But I do look to see.
Love that airport.
I am always the last person on the plane if possible. Like, I will do on purpose. Like, I also, you know, I'll get there super late and I'll time it out. Like, oh, if my flight leaves at 10:30, I will look at my boarding pass to see when boarding ends and try and time it up. So I'm getting there in between that window of when boarding starts and boarding ends. And I'll wait, like, especially when I'm flying with my dog. Like, the last time they had to call me over the loudspeaker because I was sitting out there with my, I was like, the last possible second for me to get on the plane without being obnoxious is when I'm going to wait.
Plus, I also got the American Airlines lounge, so I'm good.
Dude, the lounges are
amazing.
The Delta one is the best. Have you been in the new Delta one?
The Delta one is very good.
Priority pass, baby.
That one's crazy. That's going to like a 4-star restaurant. Pretty good. All right, last one here. On Wednesday, if you guys recall, when Michael was here, we talked about Drake and how his dad got a tattoo of his face, a very poorly done tattoo, mind you. Well, speaking of faces and tattoos, Drake posted a video of himself getting a new tattoo on Instagram last night, and the tattoo is on his face. He got the letters SG in an old English Gothic font right below his left eye. SG is his mother, Sandra Gale's, initials. So instead of having you guys swipe, I'm going to ask, how much money would someone have to pay you for you to agree to get a small face tattoo?
Any particular place on the body? I got to put it.
She said face.
A small one like this exact, let's say just like Drake's, a small one right below your eye.
You're looking like the game. Gosh.
Like the size of like a nickel.
Okay. How much, Beto?
No, I ain't doing it.
All right, let me.
If someone came to you with.
Start with a million.
Okay.
Start with a million.
$1 million, would you get a tiny little face tattoo for $1 million?
Yeah, I started a million.
Yeah. Okay, you started a million. I would tell you right now, and I've said this many times.
You'll do
on the
it
show.
For pizza.
Now hold on a second. I don't have to do it for pizza. I steal pizza. I have said to you many times, people with face tattoos scare me.
Yeah.
So for me to get a face tattoo, you said start at a million.
Yeah.
I'm starting at 10 million.
What?
You mean to tell me
if someone came up to you and they're like, hey, I'll give you $500,000 to get this small little face tattoo, you wouldn't say yeah? Like, you wouldn't jump at that?
That's 1,000% what I'm telling you. The size of a nickel underneath my eye, $500,000. My answer, no chance.
That's insane. Laura, what about you?
Start at a mil and then we'll see.
Come on, I don't get paid enough. Let's go.
I'm $10 million. Yeah. I wear makeup. Million. I'd do it for like $100,000.
Nah,
wear makeup. Just cover it up if I don't like it.
Oh, so you're gonna get it and then cover it. But what if they said no? The rules are it has to be exposed the rest of your life every day.
In that case, I'd do it for $500,000.
$500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yep.
$10 million. That's my number.
That's crazy.
$1 million.
$1 million, Cappy.
I understand.
And I gotta keep all mil.
Oh, you got to keep it all. There's no taxes.
Yeah, no tax. No tax.
Hell no.
Oh, jeez.
We don't do taxes.
I just want to do $1 million.
So it's actually $2 million, and we'll get the one after taxes because we don't want to evade any IRS.
That's true. So yeah, whatever keeps me at $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is.
All right. There you have it. That is Radio Tinder. And coming up,
real quick, Cappy. I got a shout out. Jesus Jaquez. Listening
on
in.
His birthday, I got his him birthday. On the next. I was gonna get him on the next rejoin
in Turlock, California. A Dodger fan. Shout out to you, and then you can still do it on the next rejoin.
Okay,
don't trip,
fool.
I'm the host. I'm the one with the microphone. I should be the one doing the shout out stuff here.
Don't trip, fool.
Don't trip. Hey, and we still got to tell you what AJ Preller said.
Yes, AJ Preller's comments, and Beto's going to have a dealer's choice on the way.
Oh, it's coming up next.
Yeah, but I want to tell everybody about.
You ain't ready.
I am ready.
Cappy, man, your music's on point today, bro.
Dude, I have been picking out really good songs today because, you know, you gave me a hard time about Michael Jackson yesterday afternoon, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we should do is we should invite Bill Shaken from the LA Times to our event on Wednesday the 24th. Seriously.
Leave him
alone.
When we go
to Union Station, we ought to have Bill come down, and then Bill can see how come all these people show up on a Wednesday afternoon. Why would they do such a thing?
You're doing what Dodger fans do, worried about second place.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I really?
You guys are worried about the Padres so much.
No, I'm not worried about the Padres. I'm worried about all the community coming out and having a really good time for it with us on Wednesday the 24th.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. I'll be there.
All right. So, Laura, what's the story on this this tune?
So, it is Julio Urias' birthday, 26 years old. So, I just wanted to play his walk-up song. This is by Nivel Diferente Nivel.
Diferente Nivel. Different level.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Very nice.
Diferente very nice. Level.
Yeah.
Diferente. Yeah, that was actually pretty good, Cap.
Very nice, Caplo.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to shout out Jesus, because they have the same birthday.
Well, sorry I talked on the show as the co-host today.
I know, that's
doing
your
my
job.
Sorry I did that, but happy birthday to all the Leos, because it's Leo season, because next week is my birthday, Cap.
Really?
Oh, you're a Leo?
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
What's the date of your birthday? What day?
August.
August what?
All
24th.
Of them. That's Kobe.
yes.
No, yeah. No, it's next Wednesday, the 17th.
Next Wednesday, the 17th.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we doing?
Golfing.
Okay, then what?
Getting loaded.
Okay.
Simple as that.
You know that Sedano is back finally next week, I think on Thursday.
All right, cool.
Sound right, Linz? Thursday?
Yes, that's the first day he's back. Yep. Thursday, yep.
Maybe we should have like a Beto Duran post show birthday dinner.
No, I don't do birthday parties. I don't celebrate birthdays. Nah, no. I'd rather celebrate you, Cap. I'd rather have a big deal about you, man.
Okay, let's do a big deal about me then.
Yeah, man. All right, so you want to hear what happened in San Diego?
Yeah, go ahead. So you were saying that the Padres general manager issued a statement about Tatis?
Yeah, so Adrian Garcia Marquez, good listener, good fan. He's been on the show. He's co-hosted. He's the voice of the Chargers on radio in Espanol. He's listening right now. Mm-hmm. And he's from San Diego. He knows what's up. He's a great border kid. We went back and forth in Tijuana. He played in the leagues down there. He sent me a list of the athletes who've been busted for Clostable. I still can't figure out how to say it.
By the way, the term, this whatever this product is that he took, Clostable, it sounds like close to ball.
To bull, as you said.
Right. It was like close to baseball, right. Close to ball.
So Freddie Galvis from the Phillies in 2012, mm-hmm. D. Gordon of the Marlins in 2016, Olympic athlete Victoria Toth in 2016, a Serie A soccer player Jose Luis Palomino of Club Atlanta, Fernando Tatis Jr. are on the list of people who have been tested positive for that. Now, AJ Preller, the Padres GM, said he did not learn of the failed drug test until he received a call at 3:45 Eastern time today. His quote, "I think we're hoping that from the offseason to now that there would be some maturity. Obviously, with the news today, it's more of a pattern and something we've got to dig a little bit more into. I'm sure he's disappointed, but at the end of the day, it's one thing to say it. You have to start by showing it with your actions." Dun, dun, dun.
Let me ask you a question,
though. They're done with him.
Let me just ask
Grow
a question.
Grow up, son.
Yeah. But can I just ask this, though? Should I automatically believe, it doesn't matter who the organization is, hey, we just found out. We didn't know.
No, yeah. When it comes to this, yes. When it comes to the organizations not knowing, like remember I told you, it's with the player, the agent, and the MLBPA.
I know that's
it's
what
a
you
union,
said.
It's a union thing.
I know that's what you said, but like I just there's a natural born skeptic inside of me, and my initial
Cap, it's
thought
a union
is,
thing. I get what you're saying, but if somebody were to find out, oh my goodness, how ugly it can get.
Well, what I'm saying is though is that like when Tatis says, "I took a pill that was supposed to help my ringworm condition, and this stuff was in it, and that's why I tested positive," that intimates, well, pretty much just comes out and says, "I did not intentionally take this to get bigger and stronger. This was not intended to be a performance-enhancing drug. It was intended to get rid of ringworm, and oh, I made a mistake." Do you believe that?
No, that we don't believe.
Okay, so there's a part of me then that wonders, does an organization get any word? You're saying no. I'm questioning because I'm skeptical that really they had no idea at all until today at 12:45 local time. Bring,
that's
hey,
when Preller hey, found out. He didn't say the organization. He said that's when he found out.
All I'm saying is I'm skeptical about that too. That's all. That's all.
Why? Notice because, how there's a statement from Tatis, which is from his agency, which is from his guys, his team. And then there's a separate statement from the Padres. And the Padres aren't doing anything to defend Tatis right now.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't defend him either. In fact,
so why do you think they're going to hear something and then all of a sudden be like, oh, no, no, they're not doing that.
Because,
they're going after him too, Cap.
Well, only because...
You just want to attack the Padres.
No, no, it's not about attacking the Padres. It could be anybody. It doesn't really matter. I'm just skeptical of all of this stuff. I don't believe a word Tatis says.
Of course, we don't believe Tatis, but this is way above our pay grade when it comes to what organizations know, what the players' union knows, and what front offices know.
Well... All I know is this. They were prepping this guy to get back, and not only did he screw them over by getting hurt in the offseason on a motorcycle and then not having your body taken care of properly and not seeking proper medical attention because...
Oh, snap, Cap.
Oh, wait, there's more?
Oh, man. We're talking preseason football, why it doesn't matter?
Yeah.
New York Jets QB, Zach Wilson, torn ACL.
Dude, I saw it happen. I was literally sitting here watching the NFL Network. I'm watching the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers, and they were showing highlights, and they showed Zach Wilson, and he got up limping around, and I'm like, oh, my God, that guy looks really seriously hurt. So torn ACL?
That's the speculation. He went down. He's listed as not return, but people, it looks like, and those medical experts on Twitter saying torn ACL the way it looks like, the way he handled it, but it's questionable to return. But even if it's not a torn ACL, the fact that he injured himself in that manner, In a preseason game?
The first preseason game. Just by the way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. And then he's probably going to go back to his mom's girlfriend.
You know,
and like she'll take care of him the offseason. She'll help nurse him back to. Okay, was that too soon?
A little too soon.
All right, I got you. All right, coming right back. It is time for Beto and Dealer's Choice.
Yeah.
And stay tuned.
Oh, I'm taking over the next hour.
Okay. Stay tuned because we're giving away not one, but two of our tables for fantasy football and our draft at Hollywood Park Casino on Friday. It's August 20. What's the date? Somebody, anybody? August 26th.
26.
Thank you. August 26th. So stay tuned. We're giving away two tables. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.